Now we have to give it up to Jesus. Can you cheer for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who always gets to us just on time, the lover of our soul, the only one worthy of our praise. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, family. And Lord, thank you for being in our midst. Lord, as Genesis 28:16 says, that the Lord was in this place, but unlike Jacob, who didn't know it, we know it. We know that you're here and that you have a word for us. And our hearts are expectant and our spirits are hungry for you. In Jesus' name, speak to us. Amen. So excited to be with you this morning. Grateful for Pastor Josh and Pastor Doug Graham for this opportunity that I have. Greetings from our house at 1445 in Springfield. Pastor Doug Clay sends his greeting. You know, you're about his favorite kind of people. He loves anybody that is definitely in this age bracket because it represents who we are today, but where we're going. So we're excited that the future looks bright when we look in this room. So receive greetings from Pastor Doug. And I can't go on without saying something special about a dear, dear friend of mine who happens to be here today, and that is my very good friend who leads worship and who's a pastor and who I've known for many, many decades, and I don't want to date either of us, Jeff Dale. Jeff, thank you. We just love you. I know, you're as biased as I am. So we just love him. Yesterday we talked about a little bit, God reminded us that he not only wants to listen, for us to listen, because it reflects what we obey, but that he wants to be in the center of our lives. He wants to be at the core of who we are. When we say we worship him, it means we acknowledge the worth that he has for us. That means we treasure who he is, the beloved of our souls. But he also reminded us that what we love is the seat of our desires, and we become that which we love, and we want to become more like Jesus. And as I was connecting the two thoughts for what he put in my heart today, he reminded me that he invites us to more than just a casual stop. Every day, God wants to meet with us. If I ask this room, how many of us want to hear God's voice every day? I expect every hand in this room would go up. And so I want to share a little secret with you. If you want to hear God every day, he wants to converse with you and me. And if you want to hear God, I can guarantee you, and there's not many things I can guarantee, but if you go to God's word every day, I guarantee you that the author of the text is going to speak to you. God wants to speak to us. He wants to be in the details of our lives. I am blessed to be a part of a great family, but I just want to show for those of you that weren't here yesterday, this is my family, and they get to see me every day exactly as I am, and that's exactly what God wants you to come to his throne just as you are. You see, prayer is not just something I do. It's a part of who I am. And I learned it from my mom. My mom would wash dishes. She's praying. She's on the phone, and you know, she's got her phone on her neck, and she's baking and cooking and doing all those wonderful things. And so that became embedded into my upbringing. So fast forward, I get married and I have two kids. And one day, my youngest just wasn't being or behaving as she should. So I said, Lord, and I always go on my knees in the middle of the kitchen, and when I drop to my knees and my hand goes up, somebody's going to be spanked. And I said, somebody's bottom is going to be spanked today, Lord. And Jesus, we're calling out to you. And so out of the other room, I hear this voice and says, and so I said, Lord, help me. And this little voice says, Lord, before you helped her, can you help me? Because I'm the one whose bottom is going to get warmed. And how many times do we say, Lord, before you help that situation, can you help me? I want to encourage you to make prayer not just a quick stop of your day, but to embed it into who you are. And as I was praying about what to bring to this house, Ephesians chapter 18 just popped into my spirit. You see, that particular verse tells us something. It says to pray in the spirit, number one. It says us to pray at all times, in every occasion. It reminds us to stay alert, but to be persistent in prayer for all believers everywhere. If you read the verses before that, it's a favorite passage of Sunday school or children's church to teach on the armor of God. That armor of the Spirit of God that comes to protect us and to help us. Those verses, several times, it tells us why we need the armor, why we need to pray. It is for us to be able to stand. My heart is for each of us to be resilient disciples, able to withstand the tumultuous waters of this culture. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we have a strong relationship with the Creator. If you're in prayer, you will be able to stand. You see, this culture doesn't determine how you end this race. Only God determines how we end it. And I read the ending in Revelation, and it tells me that the church is victorious. It reminds us that we are victorious. Prayer does not fit us for the great works. Prayer is the greatest work that we can do. When we pray, there's something supernatural that happens. We're communicating with that God that spoke the world into existence, and we're inviting him into the situations of everyday life. When we pray, we acknowledge our dependence on him. We remind him, like what we read in the book of John chapter 15, that we realize that without him, we can do nothing. And I will take it a step further. Without him, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do anything in my own strength. I want to do it in the might that he gives me through his Holy Spirit. So here in the book of Ephesians chapter 18, we are invited to pray in the Spirit. And if you're here today and you still have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe you're not here by coincidence. You have a divine appointment. Today might just be the day that you get your very own heavenly language to communicate, where your spirit communicates with the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 26 and 27 reminds us that the Holy Spirit always knows best. You see, in these two verses, it tells me that the Holy Spirit is here to help me. You see, beyond what you and I can orchestrate, the Holy Spirit will do exceedingly more abundantly than you and I could ever imagine. I'm living, pretty soon will be 17 bonus years. 17 years ago, the doctors walked into my hospital room and said, Mr. and Mrs. Mariquin, we have done everything that we could medically. There is nothing that we can do for you. You see, when you pastor the sheep and you visited the hospital room many times and you've prayed for people and trust in the Lord and God's going to help you, it feels all of a sudden very differently when you're on the other side. When it is you who's listening to the words, there is nothing that we can do for you. But when man finishes, God is just merely beginning to work. So that night in the hospital room, I cried out to the one who made me, who the one who has the last word in every situation. I truly could say, like the psalmist, I could raise my eyes onto the hill and I know where my help comes from. My help came from the Lord. And I didn't waste time just saying, God, why is this happening to me? I understood that in my darkest moment, the Holy Spirit is always available. I don't have to make an appointment with him. I don't have to wait in line. I can step boldly into the throne of grace and talk to my Creator. And I started saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless him. Not because things were going well, but because I could trust that the Holy Spirit not only helps me, but as this verse says, he prays for me and he pleads on my behalf with groanings that I cannot verbalize. I'm not speaking to you about a relationship with a God that I heard of, but from a God that raised me from a hospital bed where I was unable to move. My central nervous system was paralyzed. I was incapable of even signing my name. But I stand here today to tell you that God is available to you at all times. You see, prayer in the Spirit brings us to the deepest and most powerful work of the human spirit. I want to challenge you today to give 5 minutes of your day to praying in the Spirit if you have a prayer language. There is something that's going to start shifting within you. And I guarantee you, pretty soon, you're not going to just pray 5 minutes. It'll be 6 minutes. It'll be 10 minutes. And my prayer is that 1 hour of your day will be spent praying in the Spirit, because there's a shift coming, and you're the generation that God has chosen. You're the Joshuas that are crossing into the promised land. But it all starts with the making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. Be a conduit. Use me as a conduit for your glory. 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes, and I guarantee you that the supernatural is going to start being at work in your life. You're going to be like Peter and John walking in the streets. Maybe you don't have gold and you don't have silver, but what you have, you're going to give others. You're going to give them hope. There is healing that's coming. There's restoration. Because you're making yourself available to commune with God's Spirit through prayer. As a child, when I heard, and this verse invites us to pray at all times, does that mean I don't go to school and I don't have to pray and I don't have to work? Because, you know, it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. But, you know, verse 16 reminds me, always be joyful. You see, this journey and this walk as a disciple is a choice. No one makes you happy. God is not in the business of making you comfortable and happy. That's not God's job. It's to save you, to redeem you, to give you a better future, to use you in ways you never dreamed of. You don't sign up to walk with God because he's going to make you happy. That's a lie. But the Spirit of God, it tells me in Galatians chapter 5 that he adds love, joy, and peace. You see, joy you can't buy. Joy you can't fabricate. Joy you can't plant. Joy you can't produce. That comes from being with the Spirit of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And we're commanded to be joyful. It is a choice to allow God to work with us. See what happened to the children of Israel. They had every reason to be joyous. After 400 years of waiting for the answer came. And guess what they did? Well, woe is me. I would have been better dying in Egypt. And sometimes we do the same. How quickly we default to complaining. How quickly our spirits forget that he took us out of the miry clay. He planted our feet on the rock. He put a new song in our mouth. He gave us a hope and a future. There is reason for me to be joyful. There is reason for me to praise him. There is reasons for me to glorify his name. That's right. You clap. You praise him. You give your praise now. Come on. When it says pray without ceasing, it means an uninterrupted conversation with the Creator. Uninterrupted conversation with the Maker. You see, when do I pray? I pray before. So prayer precedes what I do. Prayer engulfs what I do. And prayer follows all good work. I pray before, I pray during, and I pray after. At all times, I want God involved in everything that I do. God is not just my passenger. God's the driver. Luke 11, 1 reminds me that the disciples asked Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. Do you think it was because maybe they didn't know how to pray? No, these are Jewish boys. The culture dictated that from when they were very little, they would learn how to pray. These prayers, we read that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. It's embedded in their traditions, in their culture. They knew how to pray. But there was something that they saw in Jesus, an uninterrupted relationship with the Father, an authority in the Spirit that he possessed. And they said, hey, we've seen the Pharisees. We've seen other rabbis. Teach us to have a relationship with the Creator like you have. Do people see you? Do they see you walk with the Master in a way that they said, I want what you have. I want that relationship. I want that intimacy in the Spirit. Is that what we're resembling as disciples? People who have an uninterrupted relationship that God is available to us. I pray throughout my day. I'm not going to just pray for you later. I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to pray later. Rick DeBose wrote the following, as you evaluate where you are in your own prayer journey. He says, evaluating prayer, your prayer life, isn't just about how much you pray or how much time you spend in prayer or how frequently you pray. Certainly, you know, those things are important. But they are the natural fruit of a deeper belief and commitment to prayer. A life lived in the throne room. Is your life lived in the throne room of God? Or is it relegated to, like yesterday, devotion? Other religions pray, my friends. Buddhists, Muslims. As a matter of fact, Muslims, once a year, during the time of Ramadan, they fast 1 month. I taught in the public school system. My kindergartners, 5 years old, they fasted for a month. Their parents would send them to school fasting. They were not allowed to eat till 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So let me tell you, there are other people devoted. How devoted are you? We? Are we following Christ out of our convenience and checklist or out of deep sense that I live in the throne room? Mark chapter 1, verse 35 reminds me that Jesus modeled that uninterrupted time. He had separate times of prayer, but he walked with the Father. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, there was a place where he prayed. He modeled that there needs to be a time secluded with the Father. The last part of this verse tells me to be persistent. I'm tenacious. When there's something in front of me, let me tell you, there's very little that's going to stand in my way. I'm going to crawl to the finish line. And that's how I feel about my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And my children know it. My mother taught us that the most important thing is God, His Word, and His Holy Spirit. That walks with us. With God, you're never going to lose. When you choose to follow him and wholeheartedly serve him and walk and live in the throne room, let me tell you, you can't orchestrate. You can't map out the life that he has for you, but you need to be available. Are you available for the supernatural? Are you persistent and hungry in your pursuit of him? Or do you give up easily? Do I pray a full hour every day? Maybe not every day. There are days I do get up late, but guess what? I get right back in the wagon. And the enemy sometimes wants to discourage us because we're comparing ourselves to others. No, my friend, we're all on the same team. If someone's falling behind, you're going to pick them up and invite them to prayer with you. You're going to lift them up. You're not going to leave them. This isn't a competition. We're one family and one team. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 reminds us that we can step boldly and confidently, not in who you are and your ability, but in the one that calls you my child, in the Father who's always expecting for you to come. I'm going to tell you something about prayer. Prayer changes things. Can you say amen to that? Do you know why prayer changes things? Because the first person that changes when they pray is you and me. I'm married 32 years this year, and I pray, Lord, do something with this man. Now, I just want to tell you that probably the person that needed the greatest amount of change was me. And God changed me to be a better wife, to be a better helpmate. So when you pray, be ready to change. Be ready for the Holy Spirit. You cannot step into God's presence and remain the same. Something has to change, and God never changes. We change. We are transformed in His presence. When I read Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, it tells me that Moses stepped into that holy place of a burning bush. And it says he was afraid, but after 30 chapters of walking with God, of communing with Him, I read in chapter 33, verse 11, that God and Moses had a great relationship. It wasn't overnight. And when I read in verse 11 that now Moses isn't afraid to go into God's presence, he comes in like a friend, face to face, to spend time with the one that loves him. Is that where you are today? If you're not, I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to be hungry for God. I want you to say, like I said, God, I want that type of relationship. I want what I read in the book of Leviticus, and God spoke to Moses, and God spoke to his servant Moses, and God says, I said, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to journey. I don't want to do this alone. I have a hunger to be in his presence. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to invite you to this altar to join me and said, God, I want that. When I read Exodus 33:11, I said, God, that's what I want. That's what I'm hungry for. Let me tell you, no national title, no position is going to give you anything. Oh, but if you dare to say, Holy Spirit, give me a hunger for you. Let me step boldly and confidently into your presence. Well, I will be restored. Well, I will be changed. I guarantee you, you will never be the same. I'm going to invite you forward. If that's you today, if you're willing to make prayer not something that we do out of a checklist, but a lifestyle, a life journey, I want to pray with you. Lord, thank you for being in this room. Thank you for every person that's visiting. Thank you for every person that's going to be brave today and come up to this altar and say, hey, yeah, I pray. Yeah, we all pray. Oh, but I want more. I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I don't just want to know about you. I want to walk with the confidence that the creator of the universe, that God that spoke the world into existence, walks with me and speaks with me and informs the milliseconds of my day. And as the worship team leads us today, this altar's open to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in this room. In Jesus' name.